This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. The coronavirus has killed 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more on what we're learning about just how this novel coronavirus gets inside our bodies, I'm joined now by Dr. Lindsay Marr. She's a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Virginia Tech, and her expertise is in the airborne transmission of viruses. Lindsay Marr, very nice to have you on the NewsHour. Could you help us initially with this a distinction over terminology? People have been hearing about aerosols versus droplets. What are those things mean, and why do we really care about them?
Droplets and aerosols are really a kind of opposite ends of a spectrum. They really refer to the same thing, which is a droplet of liquid that comes out of your mouth. And when it's really large and we can see it, we call it a droplet. It flies through the air like a mini cannonball and can land on someone who's close to you in their eyes, nose, or mouth. Aerosols are just microscopic droplets, and they come out of your mouth or nose, and they're small enough that they can remain floating in the air for quite a while. And those, rather than flying through the air like mini cannonballs, kind of float around like cigarette smoke, and just like that, you can breathe them in.
So people have been hearing a lot of different kinds of advice. Given what we're learning now, how should we be thinking about this virus as it circulates in the air?
We can think about it like cigarette smoke. So the distancing really keeps you out of range of those big droplets that fly through the air and then will fall to the ground quickly. They don't really fly more than 6 feet or so. But at the same time, for every one of those that you see, there's hundreds or thousands of the microscopic ones, the ones we call aerosols, and those can stay in the air, again, like cigarette smoke. So imagine you're interacting with a smoker. You want to stay as far away as possible from them, really, to avoid breathing in the smoke. The smoke doesn't stop at 6 feet. So 6 feet is a guideline, and it keeps you kind of farther away from the most concentrated part of the smoke, the plume, but it doesn't guarantee that you're not going to be exposed.
And I guess, too, that's a useful way to think about it if you're traveling in a car or inside a large room or sitting outside with someone. If I'm directly next to you and you're having a cigarette, I'm going to be sharing in a lot of that. But if you're sitting at a farther distance and it's breezy, that might lessen my exposure.
Exactly. The cigarette smoke is a great way to think about different specific scenarios. Whether you're indoors, do you want to be indoors with that smoke, or will you think about what affects that is the ventilation in the room. If the room is really well ventilated and there's lots of outdoor air coming in, then that smoke will be kind of pushed outside. But if the ventilation is poor, that smoke can build up, just like the virus can also build up in the air. And as exactly as you suggested, if you're outdoors, you're really close to someone and you're right downwind of them and there's not much wind, you could end up breathing in a lot of that smoke. But if you kind of move a little bit and it's really windy out, you would greatly reduce your exposure to smoke.
As we know, the CDC has been waffling back and forth about exposure, aerosols, droplets. For the layperson, does this going back and forth about their guidance have a real tangible world effect?
The only thing it affects is the guidance on ventilation. So whether it's droplets or aerosols, we still want to wear masks. We still want to maintain distance because mass and distance help reduce our exposure to both droplets and aerosols. Ventilation is the one thing, though, that really only matters if aerosols are important, because the large droplets are just fall out close to you, whether you have good ventilation or not. But the smaller things, the aerosols, that's where ventilation really matters.
Help me understand something else. We've seen President Trump has been recently holding some of these indoor rallies, very crowded, largely maskless, and he's been criticized for that. He and his supporters point to, well, what about all of these protests we saw, which were much bigger crowds, sometimes people wearing masks, but they're also yelling and crowded together. How do we know which of those things are risky? How do we measure the risk of those relative events?
There are two important differences between an indoor rally and the outdoor protests. The indoor rally, first of all, was indoors, where we know that virus can accumulate or build up in the air. There's less opportunity for dilution compared to being outdoors, for example, with the protests. The other important difference is that at the rallies, not many people are wearing masks. And so if someone there happens to be infected, then they are releasing a lot of virus into the air, which can float around and other people can build in. With the protests, almost everyone was wearing a mask, and so the mask prevents that virus from getting into the air. It also helps protect the wearer and reduces the amount of virus they might breathe in from the air around them. A third difference, actually, is that at the rally, people are standing close together, and they're in the same place for a long time. I think with the protests, in many cases, people are moving around. This creates more space between them. There's more airflow. So that's another factor that would reduce the risk in the outdoor masked event.
All right. Dr. Lindsay Marr of Virginia Tech, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you very much.